We call the space where we gather here for worship the cathedral nave. The word has a long and heralded tradition in church history. Nave is from the Latin for the word boat, from which we get words like navy and navigator. Many churches will have ceilings that reflect the hull of a boat and other architectural imagery, drawing us to consider our connections to the water. We are, after all, people of the water. But the image of this big concrete box serving as our boat made me chuckle a bit this week. But you may know that concrete boats are actually a thing. I had a parishioner back in my first church in Arkansas who had long since retired from his work as an industrialist based in Pittsburgh. He was born in 1914. We buried him from St. Thomas in Springdale, Arkansas, nearly a century later. Ed's grandfather had co-founded a business building skyscrapers, bridges, roads, infrastructure for our nation with partners Andrew Carnegie and Thomas Mellon. His grandson, Ed, my parishioner, had spent the career in the family business, and he loved concrete. And though widowed and homebound when I knew him, he would regale me with story upon story of his experiences across the lifetime when we sat at his kitchen table, having brought him breakfast from IHOP as part of our communion to share. Ed was a great storyteller. I was the beneficiary of those visits. And once he told me about building a concrete boat in Seattle. It was the 1970s. Ed, newly retired and in search of a hobby, and remember, he loved concrete. So he told me of building a yacht with a concrete hull and decided to enter the annual Seattle to Honolulu race. At this point, in telling his story, he dropped his head and mumbled, "Oh, that was a disaster." It was as if he was briefly reliving the traumatic memory, but my curiosity was sufficiently piqued, and he was sitting here alive 30 years later, so I asked, "Tell me more," and he said the boat served us well, no doubt, but his flaw was that he hired his friends as his crew and offered to pay them with an unending supply of beer for the journey. He then dropped his head again and said, "Oh, that was a disaster." Is your curiosity piqued a bit now? He went on, we were not skilled navigators, but I didn't know how bad we were at that until the Indonesian Coast Guard boarded our ship. Head drop again. "Oh, that was a disaster." With this third refrain of disastrous memory, Ed told me that the government of Indonesia would not allow them to leave port unless they hired a seasoned captain to get them to Honolulu, which he did. And they arrived 2 weeks after the race ended. He finished the story by saying he left the islands by air with his wife, never to see that boat again. So another story. The masterful storyteller who laid down the Gospel of Mark delivers a captivating story of a boat on open water, in this case, the Sea of Galilee. The scene that we hear this morning is situated between the west bank of the sea, where Jesus has been telling stories in his own right, parables they were, cast alongside the hard life of his Galilean companions, helping them to make sense of that hard life. And then the east bank of the sea, land of the Gerasenes, where it was even tougher to eke out the existence. And for some reason, Jesus decides to go from west side to east by boat, only he leaves as the sun was setting and just as a storm is blowing in. Now, the motley crew of fishermen that were tagging along with him should have known better. They knew how to read the skies. They knew how to measure the wind on their face and with their raised finger. And we're told it was no small storm. We're told it was a great storm, a mega storm, the Greek word megas, a mega storm, the sort that could sink ships. And this is still early on in the Gospel of Matthew, or Mark's Gospel, rather. We are let in on the secret that those disciples in the boat won't get till the very end of the Gospel, and some not even then, that Jesus is the messianic figure, the Christ, with divine powers capable of even stilling stormy waters. Now, I don't know about you, but their appeal to sleepy Jesus seems a bit humorous. Jesus, do you not care that we are perishing? Maybe we don't identify with them in that moment, but the story is designed to draw us in nevertheless. Is there any part of you that wants to be in that nave with Jesus? And at some level, isn't it why you and I are in this nave today? To be in the boat with Jesus, even when the storm builds, especially when the storm builds. Water, and especially open water, is one of those archetypal images that attends to a range of motions. We are drawn to the water. We need it to live, for ourselves to respire, for our spirits to be refreshed, for our souls to be renewed. And yet there is also that archetypal portal into the psyche's deep chasm of fear, where watery tendrils tighten their grip, pulling us down into the abyss of a swollen, choked panic. Friends, this nave is not a place we come to circle the wagons, to clinch up against all the perils that beset us. This nave is not a place where we come to be assured of any righteous superiority from the people out there, or immunities against the wiles of the world out there. We come to this nave to be reminded that Jesus is in the boat with us. Or to put a finer point on it, to be reminded that this Christ resides deeply within you. Will you awaken him? That is what this nave experience is about. The storms still come, and we tell this story of Jesus week by week in this nave, this boat, so that when the storm comes, as it will for us all sooner or later, we will remember that Christ is here. Here being wherever it is that you find yourself in the storm in that moment. St. Augustine said it this way: so when the winds blow and the waves mount high and your boat is in danger, when your heart is imperiled, your heart is taking a battering, remember Christ is asleep in you. Rouse him. The storms still come. Sitting in this nave will not inoculate you against them. It was 6 years ago this week that I pondered a way to respond from this pulpit in the wake of 9 people who were studying the Bible were killed at Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston. Our horror and our grief in the wake of that tragedy did not heal all things, did it? A year ago this week, our city and nation were roiling with a latent realization that racism is more strident and insidious than many of us once believed. Can we agree we still have work to do? In this past week, the Supreme Court used a technicality to rule against the city of Philadelphia in a case essentially declaring that same-sex couples could be deemed unfit to serve as foster parents if agencies choose to conclude that on religious grounds. Folks, it was hurtful. And we gather in this nave this morning to tell a different story, one of dignity and respect, one in which Christ says, y'all get in the boat together. That's how we find our way. The storms still come, but we have this story of hope and courage to help navigate through the storm, and we gather in this nave this morning to tell that story. It is a great story. It includes grand and joyful accounts of same-sex couples being great parents who join us in this nave and in naves across the world. And we know Christ better because of their presence and witness among us. Our story includes a new priest leading our worship today, the first Black American man made a priest in the history of this diocese, raised up here in this cathedral community. And we know Christ better because of his presence in this boat. Can you say amen? This story of ours includes a tale of a big concrete box, never finished, having weathered lots of storms, more still to come, to be sure, but serving now nearly a century on as a beacon of buoyant hope on the hill, a lifeline and a testimony to all that Christ is present in this stormy world. And that no one, absolutely no one, is beyond the reach of Christ's outstretched arms of love, nor should they be from ours. That is our story, folks, full of hope. And God knows this broken, hurting, stormy world needs a story of hope right now as much as ever. So share it. Live it. Be it.